Are you selling tickets to heaven? Why would you? Now, folks, you said, what does it have to do with Black history? Folks, that's part of it. Part of it, because we think about this, because part of our history is the church, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is where
you might have a servant heart and manipulate. We have to remember, and since you open up this, you have to remember that many times it's not a God-ordained man
or one
who stands before you, because people have forgotten that Satan himself has transformed himself in the image of light. In other words, acting like the part. He's in every facet of life, mm-hmm. and he sends his hirelings in. And I'm finding that because of ignorance, where Satan wants to keep you blinded, because we have such a lazy people, they're like birds. They will accept anything that comes out of anybody's mouth mm-hmm. and say it is right and not even analyze it. And you walk in slew foot, they walk in slew foot, and scripture says blind lead the blind. They all gonna fall in. I say fall in the hell. It is what it is. But because, and you can't blame the person that's being used to do evil. There is something in you should spark something, a curious nature in you. But many times we override that and we put confidence in the man or the woman who is standing before you. And they're not even serving you right. Right. Okay, I'm just being real. Because a pastor or anybody who's over you is supposed to be pouring into you, not taking from you mm-hmm. the way they are. I never saw, even in the Word of God, the Word of God said a man is worthy of his hire. We've got a lot of hirelings up in the pulpits talking about preachers and teachers and what have you. But you pay me, baby, okay? Mm-hmm. And my thing is, how am I going to pay you for a gift that you didn't even earn or deserve?
That's right.
Okay? My thing is, I know what to do so that there'll be meat in the house, y'all. Mm-hmm. Okay. Uh-huh. For those who are in need. But I'm finding out the storehouse has been emptied before money even got there. Mm-hmm. Okay. Don't get me started, because, while y'all driving around in your Rolls Royces and your top of the line cars and living on the hill.
Yeah.
Talking about, I hear God.
Yeah, you hear him. Okay.
God said, I'll pay you whatever you worth. That's what he said for you. Hello.
Hey, look here, I hear you too. I hear God too. You know, I had a preacher tell me one time, well, God talks to me. I said, well, God talked to me too. See, I'm serious about this, Dr. Sim. This is deep, folks. We're talking about Black history, because this is our history. Right. Because a lot of our education and a lot of great education came out of some churches. Right. Okay. I remember growing up in church, and I was a Boy Scout, it was a nurturing environment as far as I was concerned. I really found a lot of comfort of being involved in the church at our very young age. And it wasn't, and I would put my quarter, I used to check, the books and see. I was quite glad to put my quarter in there every Sunday. I said, yeah, okay. Looking how my money would grow, you know, and how much I had contributed to the church. But the main thing was I learned a lot. It was a nurturing experience. And I really enjoyed, since mama made me go anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to church. Okay. So right. she made sure.
As long as you live in this house, that's what they say. Come on.
Oh my God. She kept me involved. I was a Boy Scout. She had me involved in the Y. I was an altar boy, and I participated, you know, in functions and things of that nature at the church. And I really enjoyed it. Camping mm-hmm. and a lot of things, right, that I learned. And I think that, church should be a nurturing experience for our youth. When we grew up, Dr. Sim, mm-hmm. I mean, the church was full with children. Right mm-hmm. now, okay. The church is, you can call it half empty, half full, and the children aren't even there. Right. They aren't there at church. And in some cases, probably rightfully so, because these clowns is getting, yep, that's right. I'm calling some of them clowns. You guys never, hey, guess what? Go and eat. If you can email me, William@studiowbuzz.com. If you have a comment, you want to come on the show. And if you have any objection to anything that I say on this network, please, please let me know. I have no problem. Because I told you about the time that I got kicked off the deacon board and I wasn't even a deacon. I told
you. You didn't even pass the interview or whatever. You didn't. I'm like, okay.
I was a candidate.
That just hit me so unreal. I'm like, wow.
I was a candidate.
Yeah.
I got kicked off before I got on. And you know what I said? I said, well, I didn't want to be no doggone deacon anyway. I didn't ask to be one. They came and picked me out of the audience until they found out that I wasn't going to be a yes man.
Okay.
And when I told the pastor I'm not going to repeat what I said, but I let him know that just because he was the pastor, I didn't have to listen to him. This knucklehead go try to tell me you got to listen to me. No, see, that sparked me wrong anyway. That's why I've been fired a few times off of jobs too.
Ezekiel, and I have to go back to the Bible because all what you're talking about is biblical. In Ezekiel, God sent Ezekiel, and that was a cold brother in the prophetic.
Uh-huh.
And Ezekiel had to go to a group of men who idolized themselves. And what you're talking about. Anybody that hands down that kind of declaration is idolizing themselves. God never told any man to put themselves on the children of God. He told them to serve us, not us serve you.
Right.
Because if that was the case, Jesus said, I came to serve, not to be served.
Mm-hmm.
And so he sent Ezekiel to these men who idolized themselves. And the Lord said, I'm coming to reckon with you myself. I'm not sending nobody because you have manipulated my name. And you used it to elevate yourself and almost use trickery, for my people. And so if people would look at the Bible and I even look up King James because my son brought something out in the church one time about King James. I often wondered about King James, but I didn't have the tenacity to go and look at King James. King James was setting up an establishment for himself. Really, his name should not be on the Bible because his name is messy. He messy. Okay. Uh-huh. He was evil. He was in 16. Can I read this?
Please. I want to hear this.
In 1604, England's King James, one authorized a new translation of the Bible aimed at setting some thorny religious differences in his kingdom and solidified his own power. But in seeking to prove his own supremacy, y'all hear me well.
Mm-hmm.
King James ended up democrastinizing the Bible instead. In other words, he manipulated the word of God. That's why I said there's a whole lot in there that's missing. Just like they said, the servant's not higher than his master. He wasn't talking about y'all who was holding folks in hostage and slave. Y'all get that twisted because that's the scripture that they use. You're not higher than me, so you're subservient to me. That's not what he was talking about. He was talking about the master Jesus, okay? That you are not higher than God, all right? And so therefore you are subservient to God because actually Jesus is serving you. But to me, y'all, there's going to be a pill to swallow by letting you breathe, okay? It is what it is. And so you have gotten beside yourself. So we have to be reminded you're no higher. However, God gives us that power so that we can do as Jesus, his son, did on this earth. And greater, he said, but you're still not higher. But see, people take that out of content. They took it all out of content to flex. God never told you to flex.
That's right.
You know, you got to breathe just like I do.
That's right.
You got to wash your face and clean your teeth just like I do. All right. So I think people, I'm going to make you laugh. Some of these preachers be running up in the tree when they see wolves coming.
Hello.
And let the sheep fight for themselves. And when it's over, then they come down.
Then they come down.
You know, sit down somewhere.
Okay? Really?
Listen, folks, but I'm not angry at all preachers. I'm not.
Not at all.
I'm not. But there's some that are good, but they're far few and in between. And there's some just outrank right sellouts.
That's
period.
Right.
It is what it is. So I know we're talking about Black History, William, and I want to bring up my grandma, if I can.
Yes, please.
Frances Rogers. She was an international evangelist, and I admired her tenacity with the Lord. Now, most folks couldn't have handled what she went through when her husband beat her because he did not want a God-fearing woman. just be, and he beat her to the point where one of her eyes fell out. Okay?
Oh no.
She told me, she used to keep me sitting under her, next to her, because of a prophecy. And I remember that she was receiving. Mm. So I believe she passed the mantle to me. I really believe that. But she told me some things in her life, how he went to throw her in the river, but she had a death grip on him. She said, if I'm going in, you going in too. Mm. Okay. So I'm going by my side. And then, he came in one time and I was there at that time. She was in the kitchen cooking fish. And so, we were standing there talking and her husband came in. He had a 2x4. I would never forget it. Mm. And he held it up and I looked, I didn't even fear. And so because I was standing by my grandma, right? Mm-hmm. And so I knew that the Lord really worked through her. And so when I was standing there, he looked and he looked around and he was amazed. He said, I didn't know that you had all these people in here. What God allowed him to see, and he couldn't bring his hand down until he left the room. That's why I say, I got some tough bodyguards, y'all. My grandma had some too. These angels, he couldn't even bring his hand down. And what he saw was the Lord let him see the house was full of my grandma's angels. Okay. To protect her. People don't believe this, but that's why I said, y'all out there acting silly, people who are gifted and doing the will of God and who are really, you know, caring about the people of God. But then there's some of y'all with your sick selves. Okay. God's going to deal with you, but you don't think he is, but he's coming. Mm-hmm. He's coming to your house and it's on his schedule. But my thing is this, my grandma was, I admired her so much. And when she told me some churches, she went to the South and they was worshiping snakes and stuff. And they had baskets of snakes in the church. Talk about using that scripture about being bitten and God was going to, you know, rescue you. But here's the Lord said, don't tempt me. And see, this is what people do. When you don't understand the word of God, you're subject to believe anything. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the Lord tells us, don't tempt me. Don't do that. That's not what I'm about. Okay. Yeah. I'll rescue you in the time of need, but don't go out there. You're going to run off a cliff and tell God to pick you up. Really? While you falling. Mm-hmm. Okay. You just going to be a splat when you get to the ground.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, you know, and that's right.
God don't roll like that.
And then, isn't there something in the Bible that God gives us choices? He gives us,
he gives
all of us a sense of discernment and some of us haven't learned that yet. Or we haven't been able to adapt to that.
Well, Cliff O'Dowler said that there is a spiritual side in man that rivers of living water, we want to equate that with speaking in tongues and what have you. And I heard him so clearly. He says, no, you're going to give what God has given you to partake, to help somebody, okay, to counsel and to guide. And he said, but then there's a part called life. That's because it. You refuse to take the substances that I've allowed somebody to give you, then life, and that's it. And he said it just like that. When it finished beating your tail, and I said, oh, okay, here come the South Central, okay. When it finished beating your tail, then you'll get it. He said, God will step back and allow that to happen because you now, sir and ma'am, become stubborn and disobedient. Mm-hmm. And what happens to most disobedient children? They get a whipping real good.
They get a whipping.
Okay. It is what it is. But we are on, one of the things we have to stop doing, even in Christendom, stop putting each other down because nobody have the flag to enter into glory just yet unless you're going to die, but you still wait. Mm-hmm. But this arrogance, this haughtiness, has gotten to me. I'm telling you.
Absolutely.
It really has gotten to me.
You know, a lot of people will say, well, the preacher said it. Okay. Or because the pastor said it. No, folks, let me tell you something. Again, we're talking about black history because, see, the church is every bit of our, is as much of our history as anything. And we have entrusted some of these charlatans to teach us the right way, give us the path of progression, the path of being able to survive. I mean, what are they there for? They are there and why do you go to church? And I would think that let me tell you why I would go to church or why I do go to church. That's because I want to be refreshed. I want to be uplifted. I want to stimulate my mind to do the right thing so I can live a healthier life. Okay. Mm-hmm. And and people, and a lot of people say, well, I can't wait to get to heaven. Well, women, hold, that's no promise that you're going to go to heaven. Okay. So in other words, you're going to you're going to give up the life that you have here. And because Dr. Demery told me something, he says, did you guys know, that the Bible, the word Bible is actually an acronym? And he said, it's basic instructions before leaving earth.
Come on.
That's what Dr. said. And so now is a time that you learn and you want to progress and you want to get better and you want to do the things or exercise the gifts that we have been given. I believe that God has given us the abilities to enjoy life and to, and live life and live it more abundantly. But then you have people that want to steal your purse strings. You have people out here that want to take what you have. And a lot of these are these charlatans. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You got a bunch of people that thieves. And they're not necessarily in the night anymore. They're not necessarily in the night. And you can start with the doggone preacher. Then you can start with your okay. Then you can go to your elected officials. Dr. Sims, we've got elected officials that don't want us to talk about what you and I are talking about right now. They do not want us to point people towards, okay, this is where you can get educated. This is where you can find things out. And a lot of our ancestors that have paved the way, because before you came on, I was talking about W.E.B. Du Bois, W.E.B. Du Bois, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about the legacy that he left. And Du Bois, like I said, he insisted on full civil rights. Now, Booker T. Washington wanted to provide the Southern blacks that would work his proposal and submit to white political rule while whites guaranteed that blacks would receive basic educational and economic opportunities. Instead, Du Bois insisted on full civil rights. Mm-hmm. Now, okay. See, folks, this is what they don't want you or want us talking about. He insisted on full civil rights. Booker T wanted to compromise. Well, if you give us a little bit of this, okay, we'll let you have your... Du Bois said, no. Oh, I'm just paraphrasing, obviously. He insisted on full civil rights and increased political representation, okay, which he believed would be brought about by the African-American intellectual elite. He referred to this group as the Talented Ten. I mentioned that before. I'm going to skip down a little bit. Racism was the main target of Du Bois' polemic, and he strongly protested against lynching, Jim Crow laws, discrimination in education and employment. His cause included people of color everywhere. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. We're talking about blacks. We're talking about Hispanics. We're talking about Asians. Anyone who was oppressed, he wanted to make sure that they got the protection and and could have the education that everybody else was. Now, if you really think about it, there are people out here that want to deny you of your basic rights, okay? And then want to turn around and says, well, you don't have the education. Oh, really? I'm really perplexed about this society here in America. I'm perplexed for a lot of reasons, okay? I'm perplexed that we have an elect officials that says, we got to take these books off the shelf. Or these programs that are in colleges right now, you can't teach those anymore. What? Women, hold it. Hey, dude, you're talking about out of both sides of your lips. Number one, you're talking about free speech, okay? The First Amendment, okay? And you are denying me my first, fourth, fifth, all of these rights that I have, and you want to take these away. And I'm going to propose to you and submit to you, Dr. Sims, that it is contributed to and it's done on purpose the dumbing down of society. The dumber you keep people, the better you can control them. I like it. I want your take.
Well, here's the thing. When you talk about, let's go to Black history, when they want to do what they want to do, desensitize and take it away from us. So that's a part of taking away our pride. Okay. That's a part of taking away our mental stability or even getting proud of who we are. And so it's a cause and effect. And so that's another slave man tactic. Okay. Of what they're trying to do to us. Now, if the case that they want to take all the books, and I was thinking about this even from last week. I've just been thinking about it. You might as well take them all off, because here's the deal. When it comes to Christopher Columbus and all of, he didn't discover nothing. Okay.
Oh, that
he just landed here.
He got lost.
Come on. I already know. Cause he said the earth was flat. Okay. Well, anyway. it is what it is.
Oh, Lord.
In other words, he thought he was going to fall off when he reached to the end of the ocean. Okay. And this is the kind of stuff they don't want you to really know. And he discovered this by accident. Oh, so Lord, he said, Jesus. Only time you discover something, okay, as if you've done it unbeknownst to anybody else. Okay. Mm. And so therefore you've got a people that live here. Okay. But then what you did, and you said something right, William, when you said that, they don't want us to talk about this because they don't want us to know. They don't want us to become confident in ourselves, but we've got too many witnesses, y'all, that are still living from even back centuries ago. Everybody's not dead, y'all. Okay. They know what is going on and they will verify the information. It's like, to me, God is keeping them here for that very fact. I'm to my 103, 110 years old folks that are living here. I had my uncle, he died at 105, and I had a great, great grandmother that my mother took care of, and she worked the fields until she couldn't work no more. Okay. And my daddy took me to, the Chinese, where they kept the Chinese in this camp going on our way to Fresno. So I've seen some things, cotton fields still going on. And so these things didn't just spring up. Okay. You cannot take that away. My thing is, you want to take away from me learning who I am, me learning how significant I am for you to have gotten what you got. Okay. If it had not been for, okay, a certain culture of people in all walks of culture, y'all, let's just be real. Mm-hmm. We have the one that's, and we're not, and please understand me, I'm not a racist from nowhere. My dad did not teach me that, even though he had a right to, but he did not, because he said that all souls belong to God, regardless of what the color and regardless of what they've done. But they're just some souls that are twisted. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's just put it on the table, who think that they have a right because of the nature of their skin. Mm-hmm. God never told you that. And Jesus is not white. Okay. I thought I'd throw that out there. But anyway, it is what it is, people. We have got to, if we could, since you want to cancel my history, my culture, me learning to be proud of men who stood in the midst of adversity. Our men was good enough to go to the front lines in your military wars, but not given the recognition that they so richly deserve.
Mm-hmm.
Then you take down all of them Confederates, because we fought in Confederate wars, but you put us on the front line now. Here's the deal, okay? But you don't want us to know about it. Then you get mad because we talk about it. Then you get mad because too much attention is being played to us. Now the Karens are getting jealous. Come on now. Mm-hmm. Male and female Karens, and they spitting and spatting. I heard something today that just turned my stomach. Okay. How vulgar they want to talk to us. And then here's the deal too. Folks, they have instilled such fear in us. Not me, but most of my people. And they did that on purpose to make you think that you do not have a right to share your thoughts or even to defend yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a travesty. I saw something, William, where there was about four men, you know, they went in these places with AK-47s and what have them, shooting up people, right? But what they did, they led them out alive. Hear me well, y'all. But you have men who were stopped racial profiling. They got shot 15, 10, 20 times with no guns. Okay.
Isn't that something?
where is the justice? When you talk about justice, listen, I believe that if everybody would sit down and revamp, the Asians got a gift. The Mexicans got a gift. Mm-hmm. The whites have their gifts. The Afro-Americans, we have our gifts. The Ethiopians, they have their gifts. The Pakistanian has their gifts. The Indians have their gifts. But see, the thing is this, we have to also put the author of confusion title on who it belongs. And mm-hmm. it belongs to Satan, because if unification causes strength, y'all, okay? Unification causes us to arm ourselves likewise, and he cannot fight us when we're unified like that. Mm-hmm. That's why he keeps the dissension, people talking about each other. So if you want to, and I'm going to get back to this, if you want to take my Black history books off the shelf, take Christopher Columbus, take George Washington, take all of them off, okay? Because you're not going to just teach my child and grandchild just your history and make me forget about mine. Mm-hmm. And I got to go under the Underground Railroad. I heard Vicky say on Miss CeCe's Kitchen, Vicky was talking. She said, we done talked about the Underground Road. Let's come on to the top. There's a railroad on the top here. Okay. We going to deal with the top. Okay. And see, what is sad, you don't think I should have this kind of opinion. Mm-hmm. That's what's sad, okay? Mm-hmm. But listen here, I'm tired of being messed with y'all. I'm tired of being messed with some silly family members. I'm tired of being messed with some neighbors that's acting stupid, don't know me, and put me in a category that I don't belong. How dare you? That is judgmental spirit. And the Lord said, judge not lest ye be judged. Mm-hmm. So everything that you're doing to a fellow brother and sister, don't think heaven's not going to come and say this, you did this on this day, you did mm-hmm. this on that day. And you are, ma'am and sir, going to reap what you sow. I don't care how sneaky you are, but you cannot. That's why the Lord said, write everything down on the tables of your heart, because they're getting ready to snatch these books. They're getting ready to do that. So you better learn, get what you can get now. And put it on the beds of your hearts, get it in your memory bank, and remember, you know, where God has brought you from. Because if you don't, they want to erase that memory so that they can control you.
Hey, look, I'm telling you, like I said, these preachers and these politicians, folks, they are dangerous. I'm going to tell you, and it offends me, Dr. Sims, like I said, often I've been said, William, you need to start preaching women. Hold it.
That's not a fun position, look, y'all.
The Lord knows me. Okay. When he puts me to the position that I am compelled to preach, then that's what's going to happen. There's no way in the world. Cause see, I might be doing some things right now that may not be suitable in his eyesight. And there's no way I would take that into the pulpit. Some of these jokers, there is a fear. I have a fear of the Lord. Some of these jokers, they have no fear, because if they did, they wouldn't get up there lying like that.
Come on. You
have preachers up there, I'm going to tell you. We talk about a story, which is a sad one, of this preacher that and his wife adopted this young lady. And I think they adopted her at the age of 14. Mm-hmm. Come to find out that the preacher and his fellow crony preachers were molesting this girl sexually in his church.
Yep.
Okay. Now, wait a minute. Hold it. You mean to tell me you three jokers, and because this is a family radio show, I'm not going to say what I could say. See, that's why I'm not preaching, because see, I might get up in the pulpit and start, cussing. So,
Lord deliver.
Lord,
William.
Help me, Jesus. Help me. Well, I'm telling you. So, I guess.
Okay, I got you.
You know, like I said, I get angry sometimes. And then sometimes, you know, the words come out of my mouth.
Yeah.
I've gotten better though, Dr. Sim. Oh, you should see me, because now we've gone to our ninth year. My first year, I was awful. Oh my God. Every now and then an F-bomb might come out. And so I can't, oh yeah. Look, I'm.
Well, you're being honest and transparent. That's good.
You people know me by now. I'm going to say what's on my mind. I've never sugarcoated anything. I have cut back on cussing, though. I have, Dr. Sim. I pray. That's the Lord.
I noticed the change too since I've been on here. You've been doing good.
I've been doing good. Keep praying for me, okay?
I'm doing that, Jesus. Yes, I am. Lord, have mercy.
But the thing about it is, they have no fear of the Lord. I don't get it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not getting up in that pulpit. I remember I was back in my church at New Hope Missionary Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. And I believe, I know what it was. I had just started my radio station. And thank God we've been on air now. We're in our ninth year right now. Thank you. And we are self-owned, self-operated. Awesome. Oh, this is wonderful. And speaking of which, I'm going to just take time to acknowledge you, Dr. Sims. Folks, if you really want to get the 411, then you want to tune in to Miss CeCe's Kitchen. Oh, my God. You talking about stirring up controversy. Her and Miss Vicky, you have no idea what they're going to say. And then she has a special co-host, Pastor David, to come on. And those three. Oh, my God. Oh, I tell you what, it is serious, yet it is also entertaining. I enjoy it. I really enjoy it.
We got to laugh at some of these things because if not, you'd be in the corner crying.
They don't hold back. They do not hold back. Mm-hmm. But check it out each and every Thursday at 7 p.m. on the East Coast, 4 p.m. on the West, and 6 Central, Miss CeCe's Kitchen. I'm going to tell you, it gets hot there. You can't stand it. If you can't stand heat, then you don't want to. I advise you to tune in
don't
something
come
else.
In there.
Don't That's come right. in there. Okay. But anyway, I don't understand how some of these jokers, they have no fear. So if you're that bold and you're up in the, and Dr. Sill, nobody's going to tell me that these characters don't know that they're lying. They know.
Of course they do. In fact, they have premeditated sins planned when they get out of the pulpit or before they get up there. No. Oh. They know what they're doing.
They know exactly what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you. Okay, I know that you said Creflo, he has been repented. But I remember one time when he had a $45 million jet, but he wanted a $65 million jet.
I remember that.
Yeah, I remember that too. Now, I thank God he has repented, and I believe and I hope that he has. My thing is, you have some of these preachers that are getting, these mega churches. Mm-hmm. Now, this is how I would look at it. If I were blessed enough to have a mega church, if I were a preacher, then there is no way that I would have a member of the congregation that don't have lights or food or water or gas or getting ready to get evicted. Because if I've got that much money, okay, if the pastor's supposed to be over the flock, you're supposed to take care of the flock, aren't you?
Yes.
Okay.
You are.
If you've got that much money, Sally Joe and Brother John and Sister Sue and these people, they should not go without food. There's no way they should go without food. Okay.
Exactly.
What in the world do you need a $65 million jet for and I can't pay my light bill? Are you serious about this?
And it's on the ground most of the time. It's not like they flying every day. This is what gets me. This is, and I understand we have to, I think I reflect so much on the word of God. When the word of God says, take no thought where you're going to lay your head. Take no thought about your provisions. Take no thought. That's what it means. It says, take no thought. Don't think about it.
Uh-huh.
Because God is going to take care of your need, how you get there, how you get back. He never told us to tax the people the way they're being taxed. You got people who are being demanded. I remember, in fact, before this COVID, they were being so taxed, in all of these meetings and all of these revivals. We talked about it in CeCe's Kitchen. You got one right after the other taxing people and telling them to bring X amount of dollars, do a fundraise. You buy the food, cook it, and sell it back to yourself, really? Anyway, that's how things were going, to raise enough money to set me up on Easy Street. That's not what, but the souls of men were dying. They were dying from the nutrients of God. And then too, I said it before, if there was a need as far as getting a bill paid or something like that, because everybody has a spell. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It don't mean people are misappropriating their money. the bill might have been a little higher than what their budget could handle. And guess what? If they're faithful to the church and doing the things that they're supposed to do, guess what? And even my thing is this, the judgment call is not for you to make that analogy and talk about, well, they didn't pay enough tithes. They didn't do this.
Oh, yeah.
And see, this is what gets me. You have, they had where, three incidences where the board was told by the pastor after the board brought it to him, send this individual a note and said they're no longer being able to be a member here because they're not able to pay their tithes. Oh, no, this has happened more than one time. And to the elderly, it happened. The person been faithful to the church all those years, but because they came between a rock and a hard place, then they disfellowshipped them. Well, first of all, the church don't belong to none of y'all.
That's right. Okay?
And so it's by the grace of God, whoever did this, I don't know if they're still alive or not, fall dead behind this. Because here's the deal. God said all souls of mine, those was his children, and you were supposed to service them. And you were saying about the bill, William, a lot of people have distaste in their mouths because of.
Mm-hmm.
If you notice in a service, when they talk about getting ready to raise up an offering, the atmosphere shifts, don't it? People start saying, wait, it shifts? And they start freezing up because either they had a benevolent building fund, something.
Right.
And we didn't see nothing, okay, for years behind this stuff.
Absolutely.
And then taxing the people, then beat over the head when you don't get enough. There was one pastor, he wanted something, he didn't get it, and he got up and he was almost cussing the members out, talking about, I didn't get it yet. Da 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 da.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I'm like, what is this? I said, Lord, they might as well, to me, as far as I'm concerned, leave the houses of prayer and leave God's people alone and going out in the world and do what you're going to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, because my thing is, Jesus whooped tail in the church.
Mm-hmm.
He came in, he turned tables over
mm-hmm.
because they were using his church as filthy lucre. He said, my house will be the house of prayer. House of prayer means you come in, you get refortified to go on back out in the world so you can get some stamina, okay, some mm-hmm. standing power. But these folks is going to the church week and coming out week. Okay?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That clown you were talking about.
It's sad.
Yeah, that clown you were talking about, he was upset because he didn't get a Movado watch.
That's the one. And I mean, he was having a field day. He was cutting up.
Right.
And I thought to myself, wait a minute.
Right.
But see, again, these people put these people up there.
That's exactly right. Because they got up there because this guy could put two sentences together, you know, with a little. Yeah.
Satan can preach too. And he can hoop and he can run around. And he can hook him a shine. He can even prophesy.
Oh,
okay?
Look here. I'm telling you.
Should I say, come on.
It's no question about it. Now, folks, we need to open our eyes because see, keep in mind, there are many of these charlatans out here, and there are too many of these to even talk about, but they are wrecking havoc. Because, see, again, mm-hmm. speaking of black history, the church was the place that you went, and you went yeah. there, and you were educated, or you were taught, or an opportunity came. Hey, brother, so-and-so, oh, you don't have a job? Well, you know, brother Jack has an electrical company over there. Why don't you go over there and talk to him? Now, I want to get back to something you said. Because there's no church in the world that says, oh, well, we're going to counsel you as a member because you didn't put in your tithes. What? Are you serious right now? So is this a concert where I've got to pay for admission? Okay. Now, let's say, for instance, I have not had the extra money to put into the church because I've got three children, four children, however children. I've got a light bill. I'm barely can find work and
right.
stuff like that. And you're saying, okay, because you aren't able to contribute for the last three months or so, Brother Brown, then you can no longer belong to this church. Well, see, Dr. Sim, you know what I have to tell them? Okay, I can't say it on air.
Don't do it.
Okay.
Don't do it.
Kick me. Okay. I'm going to be nice right now. Kick me out. Because, because historically, our churches were a place of refuge. Okay, yeah. Brother, come on here. Because, see, that's right. isn't something about Jesus said, bring your wares and your goods to the storehouse? What right, are you right. bringing your goods and wares to the storehouse for? That is to feed the people who have less than, isn't it?
Well, here's what people said. I'm going to make this really quick. People said, do what you're supposed to do anyway. Let God deal with them what they do with the rest of it. No. I believe God holds us all accountable.
He does.
We have letting people got off too light. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's why they can continue doing what they're doing. Ms. Victoria, Pastor Moody said last week, and I have to hang on that. She said, you want to preach people to hell. Okay.
Oh boy.
And she said that, but you got a girlfriend over here and a man over here.
Uh-huh.
And Pastor Richardson said, you can't speak against the devil when you're sleeping with him. Okay. And when you're doing the things that the devil is pleasing your flesh and you're not yielded to the ministry as you're supposed to, the Bible says you didn't run well. Some ran well, mm-hmm. but then they got with a lot of these charlatans that, you know, coerced them, or they had some assassins that if you don't follow me, that's the way of the world. That's the way what the world does.
Mm-hmm.
And my thing is this, God is, listen, I told them in one of my teaching, God is snatching the reins back. That's why so many of them are not here anymore, because of their disobedience and because the way they are doing. Now, this is Black History Month, and I am so aware of it. And we're supposed, like you said, William, this is supposed to be for a refuge place. But what has happened, they have accepted the concept of their slave owners. And they figured out that since it worked for them to control them mentally like that, we'll bring this on over into the church. And yes, it worked.
Yes.
It worked. Because now what they did first instill fear, and it was not the fear of reverencing God. It was the reference to them as leaders. And that is not so. In other words, they put God out of the equation. And they've accepted what their predecessors have done and saw it worked. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, yeah, they're bleeding people of resources so that they can use it for what they want, and they'll bless them out. One told me, stop driving so much so I can bring more money to church. I wish I would.
Are you serious right now?
I'm very serious.
Whoa.
I wish I would.
Look, I remember, along those lines, the same pastor that kicked me off the deacon board. Okay. I remember. Yeah. Like I said, I didn't care. I wasn't a deacon.
Okay.
And so anyway, they had, and they eventually, we eventually built a new church, right? But he wanted everybody for the next 2 years. He said, okay, for the next 2 years, I am going to ask that all of us sacrifice, okay? No new cars, cut down back on the luxury items that you're buying, and just please cut back and sacrifice so we can build this church. Okay? And I think that most people were going along with that. And so then it couldn't have been no more than 6-8 months later. This clown drives up with a brand new Mercedes. Whoa, hold it. And I remember this so distinctively, Dr. Sim. He wanted everybody, no new cars, no luxury items. We need to sacrifice for the good of God. I'm tired of these people using the Lord. Because if you go back, speaking of Black history, the church again was a place where people pulled together, even the pastor. You know, we didn't have a lot of rich pastors, but they gave us, they were rich in the education and the direction that we were given, right? Because a lot of times you had a lot of pastors used to go around to, Sister Jones' house after church and for chicken dinner. All right. They had to eat, right? Or whatever it
right,
was.
Right.
And so but it was a place of refuge. A place that, like I said, that afforded opportunities, a place of education. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I learned a lot when I was growing up in my church. I learned a lot of things, educationally speaking, you see. But these guys, like I said, they're not afraid of anything. They'll do anything, and they are not. I'm going to end with this right here. And then I want you to jump in because we've got a few more minutes. And because I was talking about, and I haven't gotten off of E.B. Du Bois. Folks, we say this is Black history. And I was talking earlier tonight, and I said, you know what? On this station, we celebrate Black history throughout the year. So it's mm-hmm. not all that you're going to hear about this, because we have more shows. We're going to talk about this. I've only talked about one person. I did mention earlier. Let's see who else. I mentioned Booker T. Washington.
The 9-year-old who graduated.
Uh-huh. Yep. Booker T. Washington. We talked about that. We talked about Du Bois. And also, I'm going to end this with Frederick Douglass. But anyway, Du Bois, he went to Europe, Africa, and Asia after World War One, and he mm-hmm. surveyed the experiences of American Black soldiers in France, and documented widespread, get this, folks, prejudice and racism in the United States military. Okay. Mm-hmm. Something else I want to share with you. Boy, we run out of time, so I may not be able to get this Frederick Douglass, but I'm gonna end it on this one. Ladies and gentlemen, do you remember the movie Red Tails? Okay. Red Tails. You know anything about that? The Red Tails? The Tuskegee Airmen flew more than 15,000 sorties between mm-hmm. May 1943 and 1945. 15,000 in those 2 years. Bomber crews often requested to be escorted by these Red Tails. So in other words, like the bombers, they were white, but the Red Tails were the escorts. They never mm-hmm. lost one of those bombers. Mm-hmm. Look it up in history. Now, they lost 66 of their own Tuskegee Airmen. They never lost one of those bombers that they escorted. Please pay attention to that. The Red Tail Squadron were America's first Black military pilots and their support personnel. They are best known for extraordinary efforts in the air of World War II. Oh, they can't learn anything, huh? They fly a plane.
Wow.
You better know something, you're going to fly a plane. And for challenging the stereotypes that had kept Black Americans from serving as pilots in the United States Armed Forces. Wow. Folks, you've been listening to the Boomerang Radio Show, but I'm going to let Dr. Sims, you've got the last word.
What I want to say to media on behalf, and I'm sure William will concur with me, give honor to whom honor is due. Respect those who are trying to make a difference. Get off of your pity parties. Do what you feel or what is necessary, not what you feel, what is necessary for change. But first change your own mindset, because mental health is a great struggle today. And it has to do with the injustice that was put on our people, the injustice of at the hands of family members, the injustice at some church folks. And so the spirit of making you feel that you're embarrassed of who you are. And I like to just pray and say, you know what? You all didn't do this. You didn't breathe life. You didn't create life. And the same God that I have to serve is the same God you will face with all of your ill wills that you've done to each other. So when you band together, which you have to, you see by now, when you band together, my people, please listen to me well and stop canceling each other's advancement in life mm-hmm. due to jealousy and envy and ignorance. When you say, I'm going to put down my sword, my gun, and I'm going to help make a difference, mm-hmm. then you will see a difference. But you have to be a difference. Stop nursing pain. Yes, face it. Be mad at it. But get up from it, okay? And come out of the victim seat and be better than who you are. And at all costs, be that stand for the next generation, because they're going to need you.
Absolutely. Thank you. Well said, because the way, and I think the advancement that we have made was because of people that adhere to what Dr. Sims had just so eloquently stated. Dr. Sims,
yes, sir.
Miss Cece's Kitchen, when
yeah.
and where and how can we find it?
It's going to be on Thursday, y'all, on Studio W. Buzz.com. Go there. I've been talking on the phone to folks. Go on over to the site and subscribe. We're also on Alexa. We're on Lincoln. We're on Apple, right?
Yep. There iTunes.
iTunes. We're on Twitter. Come on here. We're on Facebook. You can find us each Thursday of the week.
That's
at
right.
4 p.m.
That's
Pacific
right.
Standard Time. Central Time is at 6. And Eastern Standard Time is at 7. And we talk the real. Mm-hmm. We address it. Yeah. We come with it. It's comical, but it's real. Come on in and join us if you can take the heat.
I don't know whether you can or not, but try it. Okay. go and stick your toe in there and see if it'll work for you. Apple CarPlay, Google Play, Alexa, the website studiowbuzz.com, studiowbuzz.com. Check out Miss Cece's Kitchen each and every Thursday. Like she said, 4 p.m. on the west, 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. on the east, and 6 central time. Miss Cece, I'm going to tell you, all right, Miss Cece, Dr. Sim, she has a whole bunch of personalities. But
he's still
me. Anyway, I've enjoyed it. When we first came on and I knew I said it was just you and I thought the show would only go 90 minutes, but then I said, no, she likes to talk as much as I do. So we'll be on for the full time. I love you, Dr.
That's
Sim.
True. Love you too, William.
All right, talk
it
to you soon.
It was a blast.
All right. Hey, coming up, ladies and gentlemen, it is Sunday Night Gold with yours truly and the Jazz One in about 59 minutes or so. All right, enjoy. Thank you so much, Dr. Sims, and I'll talk to you soon.
All righty. Bye-bye.
One of your favorites, Waymon Tisdale and Bob James.